glad you could join us tonight to celebrate Jesus' birth. And I promise these guys I'd do hopefully just a short word. If you guys know me teaching, that never happens. But tonight, hopefully it does. And I just want to share with you the same good news that God shared with some shepherds over 2,000 years ago. And where we're going to be in is in Luke 2. And why this good news is significant, because it was going to have, as it was supposed to have a profound effect on these shepherds' lives, it also is supposed to have a profound effect on our lives. And so, starting in verse 8 in Luke chapter 2, and we'll have it up there on the screen, hopefully, so you guys can kind of read along with us. It says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that'll bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God has pleased. And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to them, or said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told. Now, there's three things I want to focus on tonight. Three main things that this good news consisted of, if you will, or three main things that were supposed to be affected in these shepherds' lives and everyone else that listens and receives this good news. And those three things were joy, salvation, and peace. And let's talk about joy first and foremost. It said there in verse 10, this angel, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. So the purpose of this good news, or gospel, because that's what gospel means, good news, was to bring great joy to all people. And when it says all, it means everyone. That includes you and me and everyone else throughout time in history. Now, how many of you guys want to have joy or happiness in your lives?
Amen.
Yeah, every single one of you, right? I would go as far to say is that every single decision in your life, every single thing that you do is with the intent of making yourself happy, right? I mean, how many of you intentionally do anything to bring harm or bad things to your life? None of us, right? In the scope of the world we're living in right now, I don't see somebody coughing up a storm and I don't go step right in front of them and go like, oh, just cough on me. I want whatever you have. No. We don't want sickness, all right? Whether it's a serious sickness or whatever, I'm a big baby. You can ask my wife. I don't like getting sick. I don't want to get sick. We don't do stuff like that, all right? We don't go through the school zone in front of Astoria and see the cops sitting there and all of a sudden hit the gas and go over 25 or whatever. It's less than that, isn't it? I'd already be busted. But no, just like we don't purposely do that, all right? We don't do that. We spend our lives trying to find joy and happiness, and making choices that lead to that. But here's the problem. How many of you have made perfect choices in your life that have led to complete happiness and joy? None of us, right? Because no matter how hard we try, we always inevitably make bad choices, okay? But I'll just humor you and even say that even if we were able to make completely good choices, only accountable for our own actions, what the Bible teaches, that's not possible, just to put that out there. But even if we were, the problem is we're affected by other people's bad choices in this world, okay? Inevitably, even if you made all the right choices, there would be people that would make bad choices, and those choices would affect you in a negative way. And we should be able to understand that, because there's a whole lot of choices that are being made in this world, in this country, that affect us in ways that we don't like and we don't want. but nevertheless, we're subject to them, all right? That's the world we live in. It's called a fallen, sinful world. That's basically why there's bad things that happen in this world, because of bad choices. And it's a problem every single one of us has had since the very first two people were created. Whenever we do things that are contrary to what God says is good and right, it's called sin, all right? And every single one of us has inherited this trait where we have this tendency to make bad choices, to do things opposite of what God's word says. And the thing is, without being able to make completely good choices, your joy is always going to be incomplete in this world. When you make a good choice or when good things happen, you will be joyful, you'll be happy. But that, as we already determined at the beginning, isn't something we can do 100% of the time. So our joy is incomplete. But the Bible does talk about there being this great joy or a fullness of joy. And a complete joy that you can have no matter what's going on. Even in the midst of a bad situation, there is a joy that's still possible for you to have running concurrent to that situation. But as Psalm 16 tells us, that fullness of joy, that complete joy, can only be found in the presence of God. All right? And that leads to the second thing, because here lies the problem. Because of our tendency to make bad choices, because of our tendency to sin that we can't but help but do, we've been separated from the presence of God. God is perfect and holy, and as such, he can't be in the presence of things that are unholy, that aren't perfectly right and just, without dealing with that injustice or that sin in your life. And so that's what separated us from him. And that's what made us have a need to be saved or have a savior. And that's the second thing I want to talk about. The first thing was joy, because this good news about Jesus Christ produced the opportunity for us to have this great lasting joy, but it could only come through our salvation. The gospel, or the good news, is about our Savior, and his name is Jesus. It says in verse 11, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. His mission, Jesus' birth, being born, God in the flesh, another name used in the Bible for him is Emmanuel, which means God with us, or God in the flesh. He came on this mission to save us from that sin. Him being deity, and by the way, he lived a perfect sinless life, as the Bible says, and that's what proved his deity, because Romans 3 tells us no man, no mortal, no person can be perfectly sinless. So that proved his deity, but him being sinless was able to pay the price, according to Romans 6, for our sin, which is the wages of sin is death. Our sin deserved death, more so than physical death, spiritual death, separation from God, as I already talked about. Us being separated from him because he can't be in the presence of unrighteousness. So Jesus came, he lived a perfect sinless life. He took this penalty of death by being nailed to a cross for sin that he didn't commit, for our sin, for your sin. Everyone's sin in this whole entire world. He took that upon himself, as God's word says, solely because God loves you. For God so loved the world. He doesn't just love you, he so loved you. More than we could ever understand, but God loves you. Don't ever think you are not loved, because you are loved by the God of the universe, and he's more than demonstrated in allowing his son to die for you in your place. And the whole reason for that was so that your sin could be paid for, and through faith in that, you could be forgiven of your sin and made right with God. Have that relationship, be in his presence, and guess what? Have great joy as a result of that. Amen? Whole lot of people looking in this world to be saved right now. But our problem is we always look to the wrong things. Right now, our tendency can be to grab onto what so many people tells us will make us safe or be saved, because we're trying to live in this idea of safety and we think we can find it in things of this world. But the problem is you never will. Nobody can guarantee your safety. Except God, all right? You may not get COVID-19. You may not get cancer. But inevitably, 100 out of 100 of us are going to die, all right? But see, for those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, it leads to Him conquering death so that we have conquered death. Death isn't something to be feared with Jesus, because it's just passing from this world into the next world with Him, where you live for eternity in the way God intended for us to have this close relationship with Him, where we don't have to deal with the hard things that we deal in this life. Our bodies aren't susceptible to sickness anymore. We don't have hurt. We don't have pain. These are all things that are a result of living in a corrupted world. And that's why we have joy through that salvation. And guess what else? When we know that we're 100% saved, which you can only know through faith in Jesus and having that relationship restored with God, when we know we're 100% saved, that leads to the third thing this angel said we'd have: peace. All right? It says in verse 14, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. So the gospel or good news is necessary to bring us peace. As with joy, we often think that peace can be bought in our life, if you will, or we can get peace in our life by the choices we make or the things we have. But that's an incomplete peace, because again, you have peace when everything is going the way you want. But how often does everything work out the way you want? Not all the time, right? So it's an incomplete peace. It's a peace that you can have when things are going good, and then when things aren't going good, you get worried, you get fearful. Jesus talked about this in John 14. He says there's a different type of peace He has to offer us than the world, because His peace that we find in Him isn't dependent on anything this world that happens in it or anything it throws at you. It's completely dependent on the God that is in charge of this world, that through faith in Jesus, you've become His child, and He's promised you, I'm for you, I'm not against you, I'm working all things for your good. Not that everything's going to be good in this life, because it's not, but that He's going to work everything for your good. So you can see right past that hard thing you're going through and know that my God is bigger than that. My God is on my side. My God's promised to work it for my good. And that's all that matters. And even in that difficulty, you have peace, because you know you're going to be all right. That's why this message was so supposed to be such a joyous thing, such good news. Because for the first time, these people, all people, could have great joy that lasts. They could have true salvation. They could have true peace. And the same goes for all of us. And here's what's really cool, because after these guys hear this news and they rush to Jesus, which should be our response to hearing this news about Him, they go away. And it says in verse 20, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Now, being a shepherd was not something to look forward to if you don't know historically what it entailed to be a shepherd. It was a job you didn't make much money. It was a dirty job. Like, you'd be sleeping outside all the time with the actual animals because you were protecting them. So you would smell. You would be cold. You'd have to fight off predators. And on top of that, because you were kind of dirty, you were considered unclean. So you couldn't even come to the temple and worship God. You were, in a sense, kept from God by man. The amazing thing is they go back to this job that nobody in their right mind would look forward to, and they don't go back with like a discouraging attitude or upset about it. They go back glorifying and praising God despite their circumstances. And that's what the joy and the salvation and the peace we have in Jesus Christ does in our lives. Despite whatever's going on in our lives, bad or good, we still have joy because we're saved. And that produces peace. Amen. And I just want to encourage you guys, this Christmas, that's what we're celebrating. If we're looking to things in this world for our joy and peace, if we're looking for things in this world to save us, we're inevitably going to be disappointed. But if you're looking to Jesus, if like these guys, when you hear this good news, you run to Him, whether you've heard it before and you've already received Him as your Lord and Savior, or this is the first time you're hearing this, or the first time you're realizing, no, that's what I need. Either way, we should be running to Him like them to find our joy, to find our peace, to find that surety of salvation. Amen, guys. I hope you leave here today with that joy and peace through your salvation in Jesus that He intends you to have. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank You so much, Lord, for for the salvation you've given us. Like free gift, as you say, nothing we've earned, nothing we've deserved, solely because of your love for us. And we stand here knowing that we're sinners, knowing we didn't deserve any of the grace, any of the favor you've shown us, but that you've shown it to us anyways. And we want to live in that joy. We want to live in that peace, Lord, and we know it's only found in you. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that is struggling with being joyful, with having peace, because their focus has gotten off into other things. It's not in the place it needs to be, in you and your word and your promises. I pray, Lord, that you would captivate their attention, draw them back to you where they need to be, where they need to be close. Just like these guys, when they heard this news and they ran to see you, even as a baby, just being in your presence. That's what we're here, Lord, to be in your presence, to make sure our focus is where it needs to be more so than anything else this Christmas season and after that, and that's you. We want to leave here with that joy and peace through our salvation you intend. So I pray that for all your people, and all God's people said, amen.